Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, you know you can follow us on social media, of course.
I do follow us on social media.
You just go under Keith and the Girl for everything.
If I follow us on social media, is that meta?
Well, I'll tell you.
I will learn what meta means, so fucking help me.
It seems to be everything.
It is. It's like, oh, coincidence? Meta. Ironic? Right. Meta.
I saw a post by Mara Merrick, who was on recently, of course.
Mm-hmm. And you actually asked her if it's awkward to stay with a person who she found out that was cheating on her, right, and then lied to her face about it.
She told the story about finding period blood when she was on some kind of trip or vacation. He said, no, it wasn't period blood. It was a ketchup. Apparently, I mean, the bowl of ketchup in bed. And she goes, oh, yeah? Okay. Well, let's put some ketchup on the bed. And he said, oh, I didn't know I was dealing with a psychopath. So she puts ketchup on the bed and he goes, well, it dried. And she goes, okay, we'll wait. So she stands there for like 2 days. He finally breaks down and admits it. But they were.
Does that even? I hate that the only language we have for that is, and then he admits it.
Right.
No, he doesn't.
Right.
No, he doesn't. Then he was hauled off to fucking emotional jail and he still didn't fucking admit it.
Right. Well, I see this post from Mara saying, I just found out my boyfriend was cheating the whole time. Now, I guess that means the entire relationship.
Yeah.
And my sister's advice was sign up for a kickboxing class. First laugh I've had since.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mara, at least you don't go to the movies alone. That'd be weird, right? Give me a hard time. How dare you? Well, that's a bummer. Well, we have.
It is a bummer. Thanks for starting the show, Keith.
That's not. We got good news, you know. We'll do 4 shows this week. Celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving. Columbus Day. Now, many cities and states are changing it to Indigenous Day.
Those states that are changing it, are they also changing the books to stop reading how he was a hero and where he landed and what he did?
Changing the day is so much easier.
Right.
Well, than whiting out every book, no pun.
The kids are like, what's Indigenous? And they're like, just shut the fuck up and have a day off.
But we'll also have a new episode of My Opening Line. This one with Kyle Ocasio.
Mm.
Here's the description. You ready?
Yes.
Keith's girlfriend. And then parentheses, and a comic who has performed worldwide for over a decade, including multiple military tours, discusses early stand-up influences, including Rita Rudner, and the blatant sexism that has carried over from then to now. Guest Kyle Ocasio talks about her first performances as a new mom and a miserable relationship with newly deceased parents.
So this is when she decided to start comedy. Like, she was in her early 30s, her parents just died, and she had 3 babies.
Well, if it comes from misery, she was all set, mm-hmm, right? She talks about Keith's yearly stand-up show, having Vinny from Jersey Shore as an MC, and receiving light bulbs as a gift from Keith.
That we had to mention. That's not a usual my opening line, you know, line of interrogation.
That's what I tried to interrupt with. This is not usual. But the ladies kept talking.
You got her a light bulb for her birthday.
They're fancy light bulbs. She discusses working on Fox News' Red Eye, working with staunch conservatives, performing stand-up about her 3 kids in front of them, and upsetting family with jokes.
So, since we have 4 Keith and the Girl episodes, those who are used to listening to all 5, you know, Monday through Friday, when you're out, go to myopeningline.com or just, you know, find My Opening Line where you're listening to this and make sure you get some of that.
Speaking of upsetting family with jokes, more dad emails, they're in. We'll talk about it in a minute. All right, we have 2 guests for you today. First off, producer of the weekly show, Too Many Cooks.
Oh, which, by the way, now has become a place where people come from out of the country to say hello to me.
Look at this. And Hemda's hangout spot at Lucky Jack's here in New York City. Co-host of the podcast, Why You Mad? Ooh, ouch. The Twitter and Instagram to follow, Luisa Diaz. Is Luisa Diaz nuts? Luisa Diaz, how you doing?
Hi guys, how are you?
Good to see
you. Cody Allen is listening live on our YouTube and he saw that you were on camera and he says, this is going to be a great inside baseball episode. Why are you mad?
Oh my God. Hi, how are you?
Luisa that follows, she's a comedy tastemaker and she knows what's going on with the ins and outs. Listen to the first show she was on if you haven't. It's episode 2934, Amor, Risas y Pablo Escobar with Luisa Diaz.
That's his accent for everything, so please don't be offended.
Luisa explains her views of comedians in different cities. Luisa's father was Pablo Escobar's business partner, killed by an uncle in a rival cartel.
Boring!
Luisa was the head of the memorial exhibit at the 9/11 museum where she would ID the dead. So a lot of personality going on. You want to see what's happening there. I'm following the tweets right now. Jokes are just jokes, she rates in quotes. Words mean nothing. Comedy is dumb, but rating a perfect joke is the only thing that matters and the only reason I was put on the earth, says all my favorite comics, frown face.
Yeah. Sad, right?
Yeah. Like, is it important? Is it not important? Do they? I guess they just want an opinion and got to tweet it.
Wah, we can't talk. Only me. No response from you.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think they can't decide, maybe, or something I talk with Jake a lot about on the podcast on Why You Mad is, I think maybe the power, the quality in comedy comes from that pretending, that pretense of my words don't matter. You know, they get to hide behind it.
Yeah.
And that allows them the freedom to make these jokes about things that maybe go against their own beliefs or the beliefs of the people in the room or that kind of thing.
Maybe we're all doing that a lot. Like when we don't want to get intimate, we hide our intimacy by throwing a joke out there.
Right.
So I feel like that sort of softens the environment and your response to people and their response to you. But, you know, you're kind of lying about where you are when you do that.
Absolutely. No, and it goes back, I think, to that idea of the class clown, right? When you think about some comics, at least when they were little, they were the class clowns in school. And it was this way of coping, right? Like a coping mechanism for feeling like outsiders or like they didn't know how else to relate to the people around them. So they did it by joking.
And a lot of us avoided getting punched in the face by being
funny. Right. Yeah. So I think it is this way of using.
I don't know why I just acted like I was threatened to be punched in the face all my life.
You were threatening to punch people. Don't lie.
Hey, let's not get into the intense conversation again.
Well, joining us is your co-host, ladies and gentlemen. Co-host of Why You Mad podcast. You can follow the Twitter and Instagram at Feral Jokes. Jake Flores, how you doing, Jake?
Hello, I am quite well this morning.
Good.
Good morning.
Well, right, it's afternoon.
Well, good morning. What did you do last night?
I had a big live show. My other podcast, Pod Damn America, had a big old show at Littlefield, and that is why I think it's morning, and I'm pickled. I'm just full of booze.
Did you wear an army book bag when you went to high school?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
Oh, you got me.
You still haven't escaped.
What made you guess that?
There's a darkness to his look that is, in quote, industrial, right?
Yeah.
Ish,
somewhere, you know? In there. Very like the guy from Breakfast Club that was angry all the time.
Yes.
Those vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, where there's like a sweet undertone behind it. But it's like, but I'm still wearing black, so.
Yeah.
If somebody tries to what do you call it when you can't go out as a kid?
Ground you.
They ground you for a day. Are you like, fuck it, make it a month? Like, find a month, fuck it, make it a year.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, the look that Hend is describing perhaps didn't help you when you made a joke on Twitter. This is last year. Okay, here's how Cinco de Mayo works in 2018, he writes.
Love it.
White people are allowed to culturally appropriate on the condition that you help to destroy ICE. You kill one ICE agent and you get to wear a sombrero. Two kills, you can wear a poncho. And ICE saw this, right? No exaggeration.
Yeah, I love doing the Lenny Bruce thing where somebody reads me the joke. And I'm like, it goes a little bit, you have to, intonation has to change for it to be a joke.
You think people are reading it different on Twitter?
You typed it.
For the delivery.
Oh, yeah.
Did you explain that? When ICE comes to your door, do you go, wait a second, I know it's just written, but here's the tone.
Yeah, I actually had a very like candid conversation with it was Homeland Security specifically, which is the parent company of ICE.
Okay.
And
by the way, what is your status here?
I was born in America.
Okay.
I'm just of Mexican descent.
Okay.
I think what's going on, because this is an important distinction to make, because if they sent ICE is, grunts. It's guys with the hot dog neck and the angry sunglasses.
You hear
sunglasses.
That ICE grunt shit? You're just a bitches. Am I getting this right?
Yes, yes. It's one of those jobs I think you get when you couldn't pass the police exam. Yeah. It's like a security guard sort of situation. Shit. But they sent Homeland Security to my apartment, and that's the detectives. So what I got was what I am imagining on their end was a very bad episode of The X-Files. Like, they were detectives, and they right. had to come to my apartment to talk to me. And I think that they kind of, from the get, were like, they looked me up. They know I'm a comedian, you know? So.
But was it still scary? Because it's so official when they're at your door.
And it was, like, early in the morning, right?
No, it was in what I call the morning, which is this time of day.
Just for the record, it's 3 p.m. Yeah. Don't tell Jake, but just for us to know.
Now, when you describe that time.
Yeah.
You say that you were hungover then too.
Right, yeah.
Are we worried about a problem?
No, I've got I live a charmed life.
So do they literally, they're pounding on your door. That wakes you up?
Yeah. And normally I wouldn't answer because, I live in a sketchy building and, you know, who knows? There's a lot of legal stuff going on with the building. But I thought it was this guy who was supposed to come fix the toilet because he also bangs like that.
Right.
And then I opened
the door. Unnecessary, right? How do you bang like Homeland Security to fix my toilet? Get your shit together.
Yeah.
You know, I really think people need etiquette of how to knock and ring a doorbell. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think
that you know what I mean for sure.
Gently call out, "I'm here to fix the toilet." It'd solve a lot of problems for me. But everyone.
Did you peep through the peephole first?
I don't have a peephole.
Okay.
I don't live in a normal apartment.
Maybe that's why Homeland Security is at your door.
Right.
I open the door and there are 4 guys and they say Homeland Security and hold a badge up like they're in a movie.
And do you go, "No, I'm secure. Bye." Close the door.
Now, yeah, during this interview, you said, "I've been arrested a lot of times and I didn't get the feeling that's what they were looking for, blah, blah, blah." Why are you getting arrested so many times?
I mean, I grew up in a big city in Houston and, you know.
No.
Oh, okay. Houston kind of, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'd run around, you know.
Hemda, where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York.
Okay, so Hemda probably can relate.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, did you ever get chased around by the cops when you were a kid for like smoking weed and stuff?
Okay.
All right.
You know, maybe because you were smoking weed illegally, right?
He's like, "How did they find me? I had an army backpack. It was camouflage."
Don't let her judge you. Don't let her judge you. She smokes weed now illegally. She just started late. And now looks like an adult, so the cops don't chase her.
I'm not judging you at all. I actually say thank you for smoking weed ahead of time because I think that got us to where we are today. But when we ask, "Why did you get arrested?" and you go, "Because I grew up in a city," I'm going to need more.
I'm a long-winded person. That was leading into smoking weed out of a Coke can in the street. And, police being a constant sort of just presence. And also bad luck, I suppose.
Was it all drug-related or...?
Yeah, I mean, also, the other thing is, in Texas, they have, like, the low tax thing. "Oh, the government stays out of my business, right? I don't pay taxes." Well, the taxes, you used to get arrested constantly. That's just part of Texas culture,
you think to get the money to pay for the stuff that they're not taxing you on?
That's exactly how they do it. And most of it's traffic stuff.
Is that what you said while you're being arrested? Right. No. I know, this is tax money, man!
Yeah, I was an annoying history nerd kid who was like, "This is because of, you know."
Did you get into fights or anything like that?
A little bit. I had fights started at me. I'm not much of a fight starter myself.
How do fights start at you? Like, why do you usually get targeted? Is it just a drunk environment?
I mean, I've been jumped a few times, like just random, you know,
out of nowhere.
Gang stuff or whatever.
Were you beat during that?
Yeah, me and my friend Joe got jumped underneath a bridge in Austin one time.
Oh, that's a good place to get jumped.
It was very smart of them. It was because once traffic starts moving, you're underneath an overpass, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can't...
make noise. Nobody's going to hear you.
Yeah, and you can't get away, and the people are driving too fast to see you. So, it was very clever. They timed it to where it was like, "Where are you going to go?" And then, okay, I got to fight like 10 people or whatever. And
how bad were you hurt?
I got beat up. It wasn't too bad. My friend Joe got hit underneath the eye with, I think, a guy was wearing a ring. And so he's got this wicked like action movie scar underneath his eyeball from it. Like to this day, it was pretty bad. I had to take him to the hospital. I threw a guy into a car, which I'm quite proud of.
A moving car?
Yeah, it was cool. and then they left. Luckily, I think it was like just a weird.
How old were you?
This is like in my 20s. I was like 25 or something like that.
That's pretty old to get into heavy brawls.
Yeah, it was.
I don't mean to age shame you, Lisa. Yeah. Please stop me every time.
Lisa gets into fights all the time. She carries a large chain around New York and swings it over her head.
What's funny is I was going to judge you on like why were you under a bridge or in an underpass, but then I remembered I was a raver growing up and I definitely spent time under bridges. So, but not at 25 though. That still seems weird.
It was you had to walk there to get to the parking. It was normal.
Oh, it's that's a problem too. And the non like the cities where everybody drives, whenever before the age that you have a car, I grew up in Miami, you walk in the most fucked up places. Like you walk on the sides of highways that don't have sidewalks and you get pulled over by the cops because you're in a place where there are not supposed to be pedestrians, you know?
By the way, I've walked those walks. I found myself on a highway and I wish I could say I was somewhere like Texas, but I was in Queens.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm on a highway now. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Do you recognize any of these guys?
Like
there's 10 people, you're all low 20s. Do you recognize them from the neighborhood?
Oh, no. I mean, this is in downtown Austin and they were from, you know, who knows where. It was also fast and blurry. I wouldn't recognize them if I saw them.
Are you a good fighter? I mean, you threw someone into a car.
I'm not like a trained fighter, but I'm not afraid to get punched in the face, which is the biggest.
That's
like,
helpful.
The biggest thing you need to get over if you are in a fight is just that.
If you ever have a kid, that is the advice you give.
Do you say that to Homeland Security?
Yeah. As soon as I opened the door, I said, listen, I'm not afraid to get punched in the face and I'm very hungover.
So do you worry? Hey, I better watch my words. I know it's about this tweet immediately. Or, hey, I'm going to sit this guy down and just explain. I'm a comic. That's it.
Well, the reason I always specify how hungover I was in the story of this is that it gives you this sort of like superpower of not really caring whether you live or die. Right. So I was more flippant in this scenario than I probably should have been.
Like worst case, I get a bologna sandwich.
Yeah. And you feel awful anyway, and you're just like, something's going to happen. I don't have that much power over whether they're going to, you know, haul me off or not. Right. So I'll just have the conversation with this guy.
How long did they spend at your place?
I think we talked for about 45 minutes or an hour or something like that.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Really? How do you talk about this for an hour? That doesn't sound fast to me.
I turned on the microphones. We started podcasting about it. They said, who are your guys, Homeland Security? When'd you start comedy, you know?
But you got to keep repeating yourself. Like, I'm a comedian. Okay, but what are you? Comedian.
You know, I maybe I'm one of those people that constantly just has like one half of an argument in my head all the time. But I was like, I've been thinking about this all day. Like, let's talk about this. What is a joke? You know, what is the
nature? What did you think your best point was to Homeland Security?
I told him the main guy. There was, you know, four of these guys, whatever. The one that was like their leader or whatever that wanted to like interview.
Were they
me.
All wearing suits and sunglasses? Please, please, please.
Okay, so they had like the white button downs and like the lanyardy sort of situations, and like one guy had a camera around his neck. They were very like. They looked like
undercover Mormons.
They looked like the characters on the TV show Homeland, like the professional attire, weird LL Bean sort of thing going on.
So what was the favorite thing you said to them?
Well, I mean, I made a point pretty quickly, which was that this is not a thing that is enforced across the board. If you're worried about, you know, people provoking people online, why don't you go mess with, you know, Roseanne Barr and Alex Jones, who at the time were pretty freely, you know, spitting their
hokum. You dropping dimes on people?
Well, point being that they're like right wing conspiracy theorists who.
He's telling them their handles. The real Roseanne.
And I mean, the guy, when I said that, he kind of went like, yeah. And I was like, what? Like, if you're that easy to convince, why are you here in my apartment? You
know? They'll take your police state tips, like how to be a better police state. Not contrary.
Yeah.
Maybe going to interview somebody like you is their easy day.
That's what I think it was, honestly. Yeah. Like, this is, you know, a scary story or whatever, and it's important to talk about and yada, yada, yada. But, like, honestly, the vibe I got was that they were, like, I could tell as soon as they sort of started to do their thing that they were just like, we need to check this off and make sure this isn't a complete psychopath and it's just some dude or whatever, which it is, you know.
Did they ask you to delete it?
It eventually got taken down just by Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I didn't have to do it. And I, on principle, wouldn't have. But eventually someone flagged it and it got taken down.
And that was it? It was just that day, that hour?
Yeah, I mean...
Are you on some kind of Homeland probation?
I know I have a what do you call it, a file, but I was told...
Are you a little proud of that file?
Of course. Okay. That's the fucking... People are always like, was it traumatic? I'm like, it's the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm a comedian.
And now we all have files, too, because we podcast with Jake. So welcome to
Wait, you say files. You say, was he proud of it? In his bio, he writes, Homeland Security's comics to watch.
It's my credit.
That's great. Right. You know, honestly, as we're talking, I'm like, wait, I am a citizen. I'm okay. Like, yeah. It actually ran in my head. I'm like, oh, they're going to come after me. I'm with Jake.
When you tweet that, do you think, hey, this could cause a problem, but who cares? Or do you think there's no way this stupid little comment is going to bring national security to my house?
No,
words don't matter. Remember, Keith, it doesn't matter. It's not important when I tweet it.
No, I mean, I do think that, but I don't really care that much because, you know, I would probably be acting wildly different with the things that I put online and the things that I do with my own, like, self safety or whatever. If I had, like, kids or something, but I'm, you know, a comedian. I'm the person who is able to do all this stuff recklessly with, you know, little to no consequence.
I love it. Congrats. And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Do you own a sombrero? after all this.
Racist, Keith.
Ironically,
that's a racist question.
Ironically, no, I don't. Right. I don't decorate my house like a, you know, like my mom.
Did you have that? I mean, me growing up, like, I am an immigrant. My parents came. You know what? Never mind. Ice is listening.
Yeah.
But we had like carpets on
She's
our wall.
From New York. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Carpets on our wall. My father had, and I don't know, I think this was more New York thing. New York in the 80s all of a sudden decided that like Chinese stuff was, you know, pouring and people started wearing Chinese dresses, you know, those like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then so my father got two swords and put it on the wall. Did you have any weird shit like that?
My mom went through a serious Southwestern phase. So there was a lot of, what is the green one? Turquoise and like silver and stuff all over the place.
Okay.
I had a Dominican stepfather that also got swords, actually. Yeah. I think it was like a version of midlife crisis for some of them, where they were like, what do we put our money in? I'm going to buy some cool swords.
Yeah, but why do I think your family used them?
No, but this is Dominican, God. Keith. We're totally assuming that all Latinos are the same. Come on, this is a different kind of weirdness. My mom actually put up, for Colombians, it's like these little weird houses. They like look like the farmhouses in Colombia.
Okay.
And then they're just like wall decorations. So whenever you walk in, there's just little farmhouses all over the wall.
See, I don't think my father put up swords because he was designing the house to be everything he wanted it to be. I think everyone in my family is just bad at design. Like, we're just, you know, we don't have that eye. Like, we could do, like, behind-the-scenes shit, but it's like, I don't know what color, you know, wall I should have, so he put swords on it. You know, I just really think that's what happened. We had a picture of, like, it must have been some Persian or Arab guy drinking tea. Has a painting on the wall. I don't.
That was Jesus. We have that one too. We never had swords, of course, because, you know, my dad threw out apple cider if we had it for 3 days so it didn't ferment and we were trying to get drunk.
You're not kidding.
I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, quite the opposite of my childhood. I see.
Yeah, my childhood.
Swords are good if the government comes to your house. You can immediately reach for a sword and then, you know, get do shot. Battle like it's a sovereign citizen.
I mean, there were, like, my father was boisterous, so sometimes he got into fights with police. Can't believe I just called them boisterous and then followed it up with that. But I don't know. They never seemed to mind that there were swords on the wall. I feel like now maybe it would be different. But what are you going to do with a sword on the wall?
I don't know. My brother, when he was, like, 13, took my stepfather's swords from the wall with his friend. And then went around the neighborhood in Miami chopping down palm trees, like little palm trees that people, they cost like $1,000 each. Yeah. And it made the neighborhood very mad. And they showed up to talk to my mom and my stepdad.
Okay, Louisa. So I was close.
Well, hey, palm trees. It's a boy doing bad stuff. You know, boys will be boys, I guess, is what they say in America.
Well, now's a great time to tell you about Ring. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer. This would have helped you out, Jake. You might already know about their smart video doorbells and cameras that protect millions of people everywhere. Well, Ring helps you stay connected to your home anywhere in the world. So if there's a package delivery or a surprise visitor or Homeland Security, you'll get an alert and be able to see, hear, and speak to them all from your phone.
Yeah, so whoever's knocking like a weirdo at your front door, it's actually on your app. You don't even have to get out of bed. You could see who's at your door.
You don't even need a peephole. It is your peephole. HD video, two-way audio features on Ring devices. As a listener, you have a special offer on a Ring starter kit available right now with a video doorbell and motion-activated floodlight cam. The starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/KATG. That's ring.com/KATG.
And I've said this before. This is the kind of technology that blows my mind, maybe because I did grow up in the 80s, but you know, I would think this kind of thing that you could turn on your app and you could see in real time and you can talk through it through your yep. front door. I'm like, it's going to be thousands of dollars. It is crazy affordable. Yeah. Definitely go to the link, you know, with /KTG because that takes off even more money. But just go there just to see how crazy technology is now. Ring.com/KATG.
I told you, I saw a delivery guy come to my house, wanted to sneak one of those stickers on my door. Oh, you weren't home because he didn't want to carry the heavy package from his truck. And I caught him and I go, leave the fucking package. Paid for itself. You'll love it. Hemda, do you want to let people know what's going on with the Cat Dad emails? I'll tell you, we got an update.
Okay, let me tell you why Keith's family is crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I don't want to just be here judging, right?
I mean, well, because, you know, Keith, we don't want to leave you out. Like, we just talked about the weird shit that our immigrant families have put mm-hmm. on walls. But your mm-hmm. family is the craziest. And I had swords on my wall. So Keith grew up in the country. There was nothing to do. His parents didn't have any friends, no family around. And this is how we got to this. I'm convinced. Keith's dad got in touch with his ex-wife of 2 years and said, hey, whatever broke you and Keith up? Keith's ex-wife, Kat, sends it to Keith, says, hey, your dad's being a weirdo. I'm not in your family anymore. Here's this email. Keith goes, you mind if I use your name and pretend to be you and keep emailing my dad as if I'm you? And she goes, again, I'm not in your family. Please leave me out. So ever since then, for several months, Keith has been emailing his dad as if he's the ex. Plus, Keith's dad also has emailed Keith in the middle of all this, got mixed up between the two and revealed some shit by accident because he doesn't know how to keep track of anything. And there's been a lot of shenanigans, including we realize everything we know about Keith's dad is probably a lie, including possibly that he was ever a Catholic priest.
Whoa.
Correct. Now, what we got to is a little flirtation between Keith pretending to be his ex and the dad saying, you make this old man's libido jingle.
Oh my God.
He has.
That's a quote you don't forget.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like our new Christmas card, like jingling libidos for everyone. And it's just gotten so weird with like a lot of intricate details that don't add up between emails and where we're at now. Where did we leave off?
The latest was he was writing to Catherine that he was surprised that any of my relationships, namely Hemda, Catherine, and now Kyle.
By the way, every time you say this, and I'll try not to do that, I resent being put in this fucking pile of women. We broke up a decade ago. We never should have dated. And maybe that's what I should have said when I met your parents.
This was the last email. It ends with, it seems that Hemda, you and Kyle gave no thought to raising children.
I did give thought. That's why I'm not having children.
Mm-hmm. His show vocabulary simply does not lend itself to that situation. Yet not one of you seemed disturbed about that eventuality.
Whores.
Thinking that the possibility of no children coming from a marital union between two young people is ludicrous.
Why were you fucking?
Yet all three of you seem to have the same mentality on the matter. Trying to raise a family while both parents are pursuing a show business career is not possible. So Kyle, of course, a comic, has three kids already, and me doing this show isn't going to work. I often wonder what Kyle's real motives are, he writes, considering her unique situation. It's so fucking unique. Three kids.
And only comic with kids is Kyle.
Right. Might it be to get a full-time babysitter? The end.
Wow, he invented nannies, did he?
Right. Nice. So she's like, first of all, she has to hire a babysitter to come and see me. Okay?
Yeah.
You're costing her money.
But yes, a woman's going to go, you know what? I do need a babysitter. So I'm going to let this person inside my body. So Yeah, that's where we were at last.
Okay. Oh, right. That Kyle is just a son of a gun who's trying to get free babysitting.
Yes. So we already had, you know, Kat and my dad flirting with each other. Mm-hmm. Then Kat says, did you tell Keith about these emails? He seems to know something. And he goes, I said I can keep a secret and I will. If you don't tell him, I won't.
Meanwhile, he even said, he must be guessing.
Right.
he must have guessed that we're getting along.
Meanwhile, he has emailed me saying, hey, I know something about your ex, but I'm not at liberty to tell you. Like a teasing. What? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. From my new book. What? So I had Catherine write, you know, I'm writing this. That's good to read that you can keep a secret. I did get nervous. I noticed lately, though. Oh, I'm sorry. So right before this is when we announced that my mom called.
Oh, yeah.
Very sad on the phone saying that.
Oh, no. Are you going to play it? Mm-hmm. The Mally mom is like the only reason why anyone can tolerate any of the Mallys. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, from father to kids. I'm sorry. But right? That's where you got. She's the good. She's the good.
Yeah.
Keith,
yeah.
I want to tell you that Dad heard what you said about him and me, and now he doesn't want to talk to you. He said it was really bad. So, I don't know what it was, but I'm sorry that you would have said something bad about us. Okay. Goodbye, honey.
Now, she sounds more sad than angry to me.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, okay, I won't, you know, I talked about them once in the past. And I said, all right, I won't talk about you again. So Dad is obviously trying to make her have me feel bad. Like, what do you mean you can't say what? Tell the love.
I'm so upset. I can't even say it.
Tell the love of your life what your son did wrong. No, I just know something's wrong. And, you know, looking back, I see this happened all my life where my mom tries to make me sad. And then I'm forced to apologize to my dad. So it was all definitely a trick. So then Catherine wrote, because I wanted to see what does he know. Does he even know I'm writing these emails? Did he see something unrelated and he's trying to get ahead of the emails? I don't know. Is this making sense? Is this too convoluted?
I think so. Jake, you're super new to this.
This is quite a wicked web you are weaving.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Haven't you been pretty blatantly like naming the shows?
Yes.
With like obvious clues this is going on and promoting it? Like, does he not have a computer?
Well, every time Hemda...
Have they ever heard the show?
They know it's... They don't like the vocabulary. Right. Oh. So they know not to push it. They just assume I'm not talking about them.
Yeah.
Right. But yes, lately it has been more blatant. And just like in today's show, Henda starts by filling in a new guest, a Jake, for instance. Mm-hmm. And
she's usually not nice about it.
And just, you know, hey, this is happening. He's writing these emails, blah, blah, blah. So,
like, one of the.
I'm like, has he heard that part or has he heard something totally different?
One of the titles, like you were talking about, Louisa, is Jingling Libido, Jesus Dad, Just Stop. With Connor Cregan.
That's what I was saying. It's like, that feels very top, what is it, above the fold.
Yes, yes.
He would have to see that and know, like, I said Jingling Libido. Yeah. Yeah. And I go, there's no, somebody else also says this thing that we all say. Must be a coincidence.
And then it says, Jesus Dad, please stop.
Gotta be somebody else's dad.
I'm not the only dad. I've learned. I've grown.
It's amazing the level to which parents can delude themselves of things like that.
Yeah.
They don't like the show because of the cursing.
Yes.
That my dad is the same thing. He sent me this weird email. He discovered what a podcast is recently. Discovered that I have one. And
we're all in big trouble when parent level age discovers what podcasting is.
There's entire like sections of the internet that have to be moved when a generation's parents like discover what Facebook is or whatever. Everyone has to move to a different app and stuff. It's a real problem.
That's why things failed, like Vine. parents found out.
Yeah.
So we had to go to TikTok.
It's fueling Silicon Valley at all times. Right. It's just people's, you know, lame parents.
What did dad say about your podcast?
He said that I should say for shizzle instead of curse words, which is so funny to me that I'm going to try to do it. And then
that's, you know, so funny because he, son, you could say for shizzle. Yeah. That's not only not cursing, but it's very hip.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's from like 20 years ago or something.
But when you say things like that, to me, you're swearing. Like even right. when Christian people
we
say,
we all know what it means.
Yeah. When people say darn, I'm like, well, what does darn mean? Does it not mean damn?
Yeah.
I don't understand. And also like, it's such a way to deviate from what somebody's really saying. Yeah. Like if I heard Jake's podcast and I was his parent, I'd be like, wow, this is the stuff that he's interested in. He can articulate himself mm-hmm. about it. He is a person who is also smart that he could bounce these ideas off of and actually get to know my son for who he is. Oh, he said, fuck, turn it off.
Right.
Yeah. It must. I mean, I don't know. I don't have kids. Maybe it just, maybe it feels really messed up to hear your own child like say.
No, because fuck or no, something. Because I don't know about your dad.
I don't think it's true. I'm just trying to imagine.
Mine's completely fake. And I have caught him cursing. He goes, shit. And then I would pretend it upset me. I'm like, dad, what? And he goes, ski bibble. And I go, what? And he goes, shit, ski bibble. It's a made up word. What? Oh, so you're a psycho.
Yeah, it's worse.
I'd rather I knew you curse sometimes. Of course they curse. They all curse.
Oh, you're a scat man now. That's weirder.
So Catherine pushes it in this email, and she wants to figure out, okay, what does he know? Does he know about the emails? I put up the poll. Does Father Malley know that Keith wrote Kat's emails? 29% say yes. 71% think no. I thought no.
I thought it was too vague for him to really know. This is going to blow his mind. Like, he doesn't even know that you can write from something that says Catherine.
Right.
Like it's illegal somehow. You know what I mean?
So Catherine writes, that's good to read that you're not going to share our secrets. I did get nervous. My dad has told her I keep secrets very well. That's how this whole thing started about 6 months ago. Yeah. I did get nervous. I noticed lately, though, he seemed to have iced me out, giving me the cold shoulder. That's unlike him. Have you talked to him recently? As for Kyle, who knows about babysitting? It's very possible. I know babysitters nowadays, at least in NYC, are lucrative jobs. They're pretty expensive.
What a dumb thing to say, fake cat.
Well, I hope you're doing well. I'll continue praying for us both.
So you just turned into your dad in that last email.
I did, because that is how my dad, that's exactly how my dad would talk too. At least in NYC, it's very lucrative. Mm-hmm. You should look into babysitting, my son.
And also the acting as though he's speaking from a place of expertise on the subject, when clearly, like, even what would Kat know about the price of fucking babysitting? And, you know, she doesn't live in New York. She doesn't have kids.
Right.
What the fuck?
You should do like a Nigerian prince scam to your dad.
Oh my God.
As long as we're gaslighting your dad.
Well, let me fill you in, Jake. He almost fell for a Nigerian scam.
Really?
And the checkbook was kept in my parents' bedroom. And my dad has an office downstairs. And he went up, took the checkbook, was going downstairs to pay the money. God bless, God bless. The whole of Niger found out he's a great man. Uh-huh. And he can, just for $1,000, he can get $16 million. And my mom goes, no, put the checkbook back. If she didn't stop him, he would have done it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, and I totally no victim blaming. Like, I do think that they target people who aren't on the internet a lot. Yeah, and are older. But I think part of this is the same part that believes that Kat is hitting on him. By the way, a 30-year-old knockout of human being, not only in looks, but like in everything she does has become amazing and massive. And he has lived in Nowheresville with no one. And he's like 80 years old. But yeah, she'd totally be into me. So yeah, that delusion that a 30-year-old hot fucking best time of her life would be into you is the same as like, well, yeah, of course I'm a prince from old times and they need to give me millions of dollars. I finally got the email.
Right.
I think this prince wants to have sex with me. This guy's going to suck my dick.
Mary Kay writes on social media, sometimes I worry that you're accidentally, Keith, creating an alternate universe where everything in these emails are true.
Oh, speaking of, I saw the movie where this woman is writing a book and then it's actually somebody's life.
Okay. I don't know.
Damn it. I was hoping that you would know just by my
thing. I know
which
one it is, but I don't know what it's called. I'm also bad with this.
It was, my review is...
The Never Ending Story?
It's with... The heavy set woman who's a very good actress who was on Saturday Night Live. She was in the Ghostbusters.
Oh.
That one?
I don't think that's what Hannah's describing.
No, it's not that one? Mm-hmm. Oh, never mind.
No. Hmm. It was with Will Ferrell. I call it whimsical.
Right.
Now we can move on.
Well, Hannah's review, she gives you the review, not the title.
Mm, same.
And then you apply it to the movie you like.
You think it is, yeah.
And you're never disagreeing with her. I know. I saw a whimsical movie with typing. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a movie about sad clown who's right. So very angry?
You get it, Jake. Yeah. If it helps anyone, Queen Latifah was in it.
It does. It does, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Catherine Heller wrote me and said, I just downloaded your autobiography and holy shit, chapter one. Holy Jesus, what? She says. So the Great American Novel, of course. I describe it as reading my autobiography before I knew what a creep my dad was. Yeah. Is like watching The Sixth Sense for the second time.
For sure. For
like,
sure.
Oh, all the clues were there. Stranger Than Fiction is a guess. Who knows, though?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Good luck.
Oh, it is Stranger Than Fiction.
Okay. Very good.
Perhaps. Okay.
All right. So now my dad rates back, and I was surprised. And I'm waiting for it to be like, Keith, hi. You know? Yeah. It's not. So he writes to Kat. I have not talked to Keith in quite a while.
Lie.
What a weird lie. You did. You did talk to me in quite a while. And I'm trying to, you know, I still try to give the benefit of the doubt so that things can make sense. And it's like, well, is he just misusing quite a while?
Nah.
And it's been 11 days?
No, it's him going, whatever Keith is upset with you about has nothing to do with me because, oh, we don't even,
yeah,
I don't
he's,
even.
He's manufacturing some kind of different, like he's manipulating the situation to make it seem one way to her and one way to, it sounds like he does this to whomever he's talking to.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Right? He like will say whatever he has to say to make this, the situation seem the way he wants it to seem.
Well, our friend Craig described it as the Truman Show, but we're all the Trumans. You know, he's the writer, but he never gave us the script. And then he's upset when we go off script, even we didn't know we were in a movie.
Yeah.
I have not talked to him in quite a while. I very recently came across some videos that he and Hemda made concerning my wife and myself.
Ooh, that's another download for us.
He may have deleted some of it since he heard how my wife was great, how greatly it offended my wife. By the way, I didn't mention this part just to catch you up, Jake. After my mom sent that message, I texted her back, oh, I can't talk right now because I wasn't emotionally ready. I didn't want to deal with it. But I said, oh, I can't talk right now, but dad's been inappropriately talking to my ex and he can explain to you what's going on. No, I do not apologize. Right, which is fun. I'm 45, but I never said anything like that before.
What did she say? What did your mom say to that? She didn't write back?
Yes, she did. She goes, oh, okay, honey, great to hear. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, poor mom.
Yeah, it's so you
back
know.
Back to the delusion, mm-hmm. delusion yeah. button on.
Yeah, she's just like, all right, I'll let it go. You know, like if when you describe something like that about your partner, you don't go, no way. You're like, all right, I don't get it. But yes, that is the weirdo that I'm stuck with. Yeah, but I know. Of course, I believe you, Keith. Something's going on, and I don't want to deal with it.
Even in different partnerships, like I have a partnership with Keith. You guys have a partnership. If somebody went, like Jake was completely inappropriate while I was a guest on your show, Louise,
you ask questions.
Yeah, yeah you would like, be right. like, gotcha.
Yeah,
noted, so, and moving on.
Right. It would be imprudent for me to comment on them in writing. So what he saw me and him to say was so vile. It's not even prudent to write it down in an email. It would
to,
be
to your ex-wife.
To my ex-wife. Plus, I want to keep you wet. It would dry you up.
Ew.
Gross.
But I have no desire to speak with him until he makes a very sincere apology to me and to his mother, and to publicly retreat all the falsehoods that he has said about me and permitted his co-host to say about me.
Now, if you list what we said and then tell us which one are false, we'll happily apologize.
Okay, but wait. Are we sure
that he's dad? It's his mom.
No, like to me, it's starting to sound like he, because that sounds like he's trying to play a game of chicken, and he's not gonna give up his bluff. So he's gonna be like, I think Keith knows, but I'm gonna keep acting like I don't know, because a lot of what you just read is him being like, he revealed what he wanted to happen when he told your mom. that he was, that you guys were saying things about them.
Right. So are you, are you saying you think he knows that I'm reading Kat's emails and he's being clever? Because I'll stop you right now. That's too much credit.
No, that's too much credit.
When they try to say that Trump is playing 4D chess.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not happening.
No. In my defense, I'm not giving him that much credit. I think he is suspicious that Kat is telling you.
Okay.
And that he's like, now using this as another opportunity of these words will get to Keith.
That's
so
possible.
I'm going to push
He's
this,
triangulating.
This, yeah, exactly. I'm going to push the narrative from all the sides, yes. But I can't.
But I have no desire to speak to him until he makes a very sincere apology to me and to his mother, and to publicly retreat all the falsehoods that he has said about me and permitted his co-host to say about me over the years.
Thank you for your permission, sir. <know.
laughs> He tells me that is show. I think he means that it's his show. He tells me that it is his show, so what he permits his co-host to say on it is also his responsibility.
I get to stay in the country if Keith says it's okay.
Mm-hmm. As for Henda, I guess she never heard of the laws dealing with libel.
Take my fucking name out of your mouth.
Meaning libel. Calumny, which I had to look up.
I had to look that up too.
Which is spreading falsehoods. Lying, false insinuations, and open mockery. Now, he's one of these judges that you get caught raping a kid and you're in trouble for raping a kid and doing not nice things. It's like, Your Honor, you're really milking this.
I think he's looking up obscure legal terms.
Yeah. As for Henda, I guess she never heard of the laws dealing with libel, calumny, lying, false insinuations, and open mockery. And to think that we seldom ever talked in person.
You know how many people are in jail for open mockery?
I know, yeah.
Calling mockery.
And for four different kinds of lying. Yeah.
My dad's going to put together a lawsuit. Yeah. Get the fuck out of town.
He's going to get a class action together of all the people you guys have ever calumnied on here.
Well, first, let's wait until that Nigerian money comes in before you even... For them to make fun of my wife's health situation is the pits. Surely, Keith knows better. And how would Henda like it if we made fun of her health situation or her lifestyle?
That's me being a lesbo.
Yeah.
My lifestyle.
I like how the implication is like, look how kind we are that we don't make fun of her lifestyle. Aren't we good people unlike them?
What if I mocked that she had a tumor? Yeah. As if we don't.
Yeah.
That's all we do is mock my tumor.
I know you have no way of knowing the answers to these situations. I'm just venting a little. Sorry. You should be glad that you are no longer part of it.
What a cute outro into a, you know, you're in a safe space now, honey.
Right. So I can't help but wonder, what did he see? He doesn't know about the emails. Is it a video? Is it a YouTube video?
This just proves that we do too much content.
Right.
Well, but also I consume some of your content and
Another download.
Yes. And I don't think I've ever heard you guys making fun of Keith's mom's situation.
Never. And what I did notice, so I'm guessing, okay, what could he Google? What's a simpleton going to Google? And if I Google Keith and the girl Kyle, it pops up a 10-minute video called, you talk about these titles, that Henrik labeled Meeting Keith's Parents. Mm. And it talks about me realizing that she does have dementia and how we go to a restaurant and she'll try a little bit of Coke and go, ew, no, no good. Or a little bit of chicken salad at a chain restaurant. Oh God. And I mentioned how it reminded me of my dad. Like, she's picking up his actions that he's had for decades. And I question, what, did he always have dementia for all these decades? So I'm thinking, and again, who knows? You never can tell. But that's the one that he saw. And it's like, oh, you're making fun of dementia. And of course, you're mocking me because I would talk about my dad and how oddly he always hit on women that I brought over and how Kyle kicked
him up. We're definitely mocking that. And he's so fucking lucky that's all we're doing. Like, that's right. You should be ashamed of yourself, of how you talk to women, and especially that it's your son's girlfriend and it's always fucking Christmas.
Right. Yeah, it's when you find out somebody cheated on you through their email, and so they turn around to get mad at you. You looked through my email?
Yeah.
Whoa, motherfucker, that wasn't ketchup on the bed. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think that your dad found this video after he logged into AOL.com and typed in HTTP?
Do you remember our guest Troy Allen we had on? He found out his dad was a multiple pedophile. He says, Jesus, I'm starting to feel pretty lucky in the dad department.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Multiple pedophile.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got the whole...
His siblings in the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Allison, it's like he stuck his hand in a fire and is now squirting lighter fluid on it to put the flames out. Mm. What is the law about open mockery he refers to anyway? Does he legitimately think it's against the law to make fun of him?
It's so funny because he had a rule when you were younger, don't make fun of the cat. Don't make a mockery.
Don't mock the cat. I would, and I'm not.
He's obsessed with the concept of mockery.
Yeah, I'm not like teasing the cat with food or anything. I would say in English, not cat language, hey, you want to go bowling later? You know, and to the amusement of one of my siblings, do you want to go bowling later, cat? Oh, that's right. You can't because you're a cat. You don't know how to bowl. And my dad would overhear that and be like, do not mock the cat.
So in its presence.
In its presence.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you can without its presence, sure.
That is so weird.
Sounds covers like delusions its of grandeur, no? Like this, yeah. It sounds like he, yeah, like delusions.
Narcissist,
yeah, like a narcissist. Sociopath. And you know what?
No one slanders my cat.
We'll see you in court. It's terrible, and I feel like how much. You know, how your parents have been together for like decades and decades and decades, right?
Yeah, I think they're celebrating 40, 50 years of marriage. Yeah.
And it has to be like 50 because you're 45 and you have an older sibling.
Right.
Right. And I just wonder like how much of this type of gaslighting can a person live with without deteriorating a little bit and not feeling like you can't tell what's real anymore because it's every day that you're getting gaslit.
Yeah,
very true.
How dare you tell me what I can and can't say? Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It was too much that I'm reading these emails out. Don't write them. Yeah. These people think they can get away with everything, but then no, family first. Okay, but what about you being sexual with my ex? Okay, I didn't podcast it, son.
It was a private email.
I just punched my pud to it.
Do it behind everyone's back like we always did. Make America great again.
Well, Joe was writing, he didn't want you getting sued for public mockery with the cat. He was looking out for you.
Oh. This is a cat calumny. Right. Do you think that when your dad finally figures this out, his mind is just going to shatter and he's going to turn into like the Unabomber or something?
He's not that clever.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, maybe he would think he's the Unabomber, but he's really just sending letters. Right. He forgot the bomb. The
explosive part. This is sending AOL CDs to people.
Jenny says, I don't know how your dad is able to walk around with those balls of his. And he seems more mad at Henda than you. I see you disown him first. Oh, no, that son of a gun is staying owned. Okay? I'm not disowning anything.
He is so angry with me for so long.
Yeah.
Like
he has to blame it on somebody. And it can't be his son, so it'll be you.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, it can't be himself, which was what it should be. But
right. Yeah.
Probably also can't be a man, you know? So.
Right. That's a good point. Convenient.
Yeah, well, the man let me talk, so who are we blaming now? It's such a vicious cycle.
Oh, it is his fault for giving you permission.
That's true, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to take your leadership role well.
I don't like what you said about me. What?
I will stop Keith right now.
That when I bring a woman over, you hit on him and like, oh, so pretty. You're so,
Mr. Malley, remember when you thought I was hot? Remember when you wanted some? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember when you looked at me in the eye and said, oh my God, you're so pretty. And I looked away and down. Remember that?
Dude, there does seem to be like a real consistent thread of, he seems to be obsessed with like respectability politics, let's call it, where...
Yes, let's name it a nice word.
No, I know, but you know what I mean? Like this idea of it matters more how you're seen and how you present yourself than how you actually behave.
Yes.
Which is
the start of an abusive cycle.
Right, and not just that, it's when I listen to these emails on the pod, when I listen to the podcast, it's like a perfect antithesis for people who are like mad at the Me Too movement and shit like that, because it's like, this is what the people who are mad at Me Too, this is what they act like. They are the type of people who are like, oh, you shouldn't say that and don't say things on record and make sure they don't hear you. But then behind the scenes, they're fucking sticking hands up your skirt and saying horrible shit and writing your ex's emails and doing shit like that. It's, I don't know.
No, it is that exactly. I remember Jackie Martling, like, mm-hmm. you know, touched my ass and made a mockery in front of me, in front of, you know, a bunch of people and... I hate to say it, but I cried. You know, I left the venue first. Thank you. I'm a woman. And then when I said it on air, a long email came like, hey, look, you know, I've always done it and da-da-da-ba. And
but
I don't
how could
know.
You call me out?
I'm just like, all I said was your funny joke about me being a lesbian. You should be proud of that. You said it. You're very happy. And then I said that you touched my ass. It didn't please me. Which part do you not want me to say? Which part are you not going to ever do again so that nobody says that about you?
Yeah, it's a huge double standard that people have where they're, you know, like you should say the nice things about me, but not the other mm-hmm. thing. It's like, well, you know, what are we talking about here? Is it freedom of speech or not, you know?
What should Kat write next?
Oh, jeez.
What was the last one?
The last one was where Kat revealed herself to be soaking up some of Mr. Malley's manipulative tactics.
Right. As for Kenda, I guess she never heard of laws dealing with libel, calumny, lying, false insinuations, open mockery, talking off the side of your mouth. And what's that?
I think Kat should suggest legal action.
Like we should both sue Keith.
Yeah, like not put it out there like for sure, but just be like, I mean, you're right. You know, they shouldn't be saying these kinds of things. Have you considered talking to a lawyer and see what he says?
Ooh, and say we can do a class action suit. She can't stop talking about Trump, but we can get him in on it too. And he'll be like, of course I can talk to Trump. I'm an American.
Mm-hmm. I don't want him to spend my mom's money on something dumb.
Right, okay. You think he'd really go for it? I thought we would just gas him up to talk about the ways he could legally
right. after
you. But no, you're right. Mm-hmm. If he actually might do it, then don't give him the idea.
I think she should write him back about how great I am.
I think you should try to FinDom your dad.
Do what?
You should try to get him to send you money for like nudes and stuff.
Kat wants a tribute.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking as we were talking about how he was going to fall for a Nigerian scam that we can create, you know, a New York scam, or what are we going to call it? But but then I'm like, you guys have no money. Mm-hmm. And
that, like, hurts his mom ultimately, so we can't go the money route.
I explained to my mom that I'm taking money from him and putting it in her account.
That's just going in a circle. Yeah.
That's how you pay for the home that she has to move into.
I think we solved it, you guys. Yeah.
You know what would be great? Like, he's supposedly a life insurance salesman. He sells nothing. They would be really weird if one of them ends up dying and they didn't have life insurance.
Right.
Whoa.
Because I think that can happen.
Sure.
That's like a damn Geico commercial.
Well, see in court, because I bet he sold at least one policy. Thank you.
Well, you just fixed it. So also, my name is the girl, so nothing that I say counts.
Yeah, that was a clever one.
Until you put my fucking name in the title.
All right. How do I sleep after all this? I use Sleep Number. They're my bed company. All right. You know what? They also partner with the NFL. These guys need to sleep well.
My sleep number's a 50. Thank you for asking.
Mine's a 45 last night. And Kyle was over and hers was a 30.
What? Is that how you guys get along?
Yes. You can have each halves different. That's amazing. Just softer, firmer. Anytime I want. I don't have to have a pit crew coming in. I just click a button on my app and I'm golden and delicious. It's the 100th year of the NFL. More than 1,800 NFL players are now sleeping on Sleep Number beds. It improves their game with better sleep. Sleep and performance. They go together. And what they have now, by the way, so my bed, I got it some time ago, and the next morning it'll tell me when did I toss and turn. And I can go, oh, I think I want it to be a little firmer or softer for the next night until I figured out exactly, based on my day, how I want my bed. Well, now they have Sleep Number 360 smart beds. It adjusts when you toss and turn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Come in during the fall sale where a queen Sleep Number 360 smart bed is now only $1,399. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 600 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you. At least take a look. Sleepnumber.com/KATG.
I mean, it doesn't hurt right now to just go to sleepnumber.com/KATG and it helps the show.
Right. You alluded, Jake, to the Joker movie. Have you seen it?
I did. I saw it with my mom, which was a weird idea.
Do you guys usually hang out or go to the movies together or anything?
I was on tour and like I said, my folks live in Texas where I grew up. And I was coming to swing by and see my family for a couple days before I came back to New York. And I was taking a mega bus to Houston. Was like, it drops off at a movie theater. I need to watch this movie for Louisa and I's podcast because we're going to talk about it. Hey, I'm going to go watch this movie. And my mom was like, oh, okay. I've been thinking about seeing that movie. You want to watch it together? And I was like, sure. And I didn't realize there was going to be just a huge psychodrama between this mentally ill comedian and his own mother in the movie.
Right, and his own mother, that's right.
And it was so uncomfortable because the whole time he's like, I'm going to be a comedian, and he's all delusional and stuff, and I'm like, that's me, Mom. I'm the bad person in this movie.
There's a part in the movie where he tells his mom, he's like giving her a bath, and he tells her that he's going to be a comedian. She's like disabled.
Oh. Yeah.
And she turns and she's like, but honey, you're not funny. It's so
funny. Yeah, it was like too real. It was it's too on the nose.
Joker is the number one movie for the second week in a row. Number two, The Addams Family.
Doesn't this, when Hustlers came out, they were number one for 1 week only, right?
It was quick, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't that prove that it was fake number one? Do you know what I mean?
That it wasn't good?
Yes.
That's what it proves, yeah. That people went to see it the first weekend and then tweeted and talked about how it wasn't good, and then other people didn't go see it.
And I don't even think they said it wasn't good. I think people were like, oh, this is the shit. I'm going to go be a stripper now. Yeah, down with men. But nobody was like, yeah, you should see this. You know what I mean? Like it was like whoever was going to see it saw it that first week. But movies that are good just stay on there.
I went to see that with my mom.
Which one?
Hustlers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jennifer Lopez is like, I'm going to be a stripper, Mom.
Yeah.
She's giving her a bath and stuff.
But honey, you're not hot.
What did you think of the movie?
It was okay. It was kind of boring, but it was okay.
Why did you go?
Because my mom really loves Jennifer Lopez.
Okay.
Yeah, because all Latin women love Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we had to go support.
The Addams Family is a
cartoon.
That
was, by the way, the best reason I've ever heard to watch that fucking movie.
Thank you, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Addams Family, and then Gemini Man at number three. First weekend at number three, it's a Will Smith movie, and apparently in the movie, Will Smith has a clone, and the clones have to battle each other. So you see Will Smith younger and of his age now. And I saw so much stuff before it came out on social media just shitting on it, like they can tell from the trailer it's not going to be good. I don't know how people know that. I have a theory that a couple important or powerful movie reviewers said it's shit, and then people are just jumping on it because I saw Will Smith fighting Will Smith. One Will Smith is on a motorcycle, then jumps off it and throws the motorcycle doing a wheelie like it's a weapon, and I'm like, this looks great.
Wait, did you see it?
It just came out. I didn't see it yet, but I will. I see Rotten Tomatoes critics score 26%, pretty bad. People score 84%.
I think what's going on is that in order for people to go watch a movie, they have to hear that it was really good or really bad. And if it's landing in that middle area, the way to market it is like, what if we say it sucks? And people will go watch it ironically.
Yeah, I just saw an action movie in a trailer, but apparently everybody but me got like, no, there's no way it's going to be good. Okay, when does he do bad?
Well, to me, I saw the posters around town, and I just think, oh, this is a movie that's not for me, but he always plays in these giant movies, like what was the End of the World one?
Independence Day, any of them.
Yeah, that was just him doing exercise and fighting a zombie every other day. Everyone loved that shit, so I'm like, oh, this is going to be great.
Right.
I do think there is some hate for what's his face?
Will Smith.
Will Smith, because he seems to have such a perfect life and he seems to be very well balanced and also rich and also have the hottest wife and his children are well adjusted and all this stuff. And I feel like, you know, there was originally a sellout thing to him and, you know, or he's like one of the good blacks. There's like a lot of, he basically does all the right things. So I don't know why he gets any hate other than it's just pure hatery.
Right.
Right? I mean, what are you hating about Will Smith, really?
Now, I could come back in 2 days and go, well, everybody was right.
right, of course.
But I'm going to see it, sure.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's funny, I really like Will Smith, and I think it's partially a nostalgia thing of, like, I grew up watching him and whatnot, but I think it is this thing of he is perceived as always playing to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
And now we're in a world of like more niche, since the internet, I would say, of like people are more refined in their tastes and they're proud of the fact that they look for like hidden underground alternative blah, blah, blah kind of content and things and idols and whatever. And Will Smith is one of the fucking still living most recent versions of you played to the lowest common denominator in every way. Like to
but
be,
did he? What movie, yeah. What movie well, doesn't
no,
play
No, I mean, in being non-offensive. He's like a professional non-offensive performer.
Yeah, that's where all of his success comes from, is from being a, you know, a popular thing, which is in the 90s, you know, before the internet changed everything, was like, yeah, okay, good for you. You kind of admire someone for having climbed the rungs of, you know, the like the entertainment industry or whatever. And
that's
almost
so
like
unfair though. That's so unfair because,
well, I'm going to guess that him and the clone work together at the end. That's my guess.
But also, how's it unfair? He's rich as hell. He's got a
He'll
beautiful
be
wife.
Fine.
He's going to be fine. What no, are you talking about? He's in movies every year.
I think, well, yeah. It's not unfair in that he's going to die because of what we right. say, but it's an unfair view of someone because it's not like he started in a gang with like these right. horrible experiences. He really spoke like who he is. Maybe I think he is kind of a nerd and kind of like
yeah. Oh,
enjoys.
Yeah, he's corny as hell.
Yeah, he is corny. He always spoke from that corny place and like
yeah, Fresh Prince was an avant-garde. You know?
Yeah, he's just.
I don't
dorky.
Think people see him as being disingenuous in that sense. It's just that that is no longer a thing that is that admirable. Where like you know, I mean, you know,
this is a blockbuster movie where he plays against himself. I don't understand
but the concept of blockbuster movies is no longer really popular. Like right. people like obscure things and having, you know, carved out their own niche and
oh my God.
You know, like
suck your thumb a little bit.
What are you talking about, Keith and the girl?
What?
What do you don't think that part of what is awesome to people who love Keith and the girl is this idea that they found you so long before everyone else, that you are like a special secret thing that when you meet another KTG listener, it's like a thing to connect to them. It's real. That's a real thing. It's
I understand that. I understand that. But maybe combat that within yourself. Because I remember when like when we were in high school and the Queen song because of that movie came out.
And the Champions one?
No.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody. And suddenly it blew up and somebody that I went to school with was like, my brother's so pissed because he always knew Queen.
Right, right.
And I'm like, so your brother's pissed that this
more people
band.
Like it. Yeah.
Right. Okay, I get it. Because there was right. a specialness to it. Sorry that you're not special through this other medium that you didn't
right.
create.
But I
Stop.
Don't think that that's what's happening with Will Smith, because as Keith was saying,
you guys are the ones that brought
no,
it up.
No. Will Smith was never that. He was never underground, alt, niche,
right.
or anything.
That's what
he,
I was saying.
So what I'm saying is he was lowest common denominator from the beginning, like a Disney kid, like a Britney Spears, like a
that's unfair.
No, what do you mean it's unfair? He
because
was,
he didn't he,
why is that bad?
Because Britney Spears was taken at the age of 16. I think he did a lot more DIY and it was his voice, whereas
right.
Britney didn't decide to be a fucking schoolgirl in her first video.
Right, but what you're pointing at is the difference in who manufactured them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's still a manufactured image. Like he's still went with the cleanest version of rap. He was the cleanest version of a quote-unquote black guy from the cities
in
the movies.
That's who he was. Britney
right.
wasn't.
Right. Like it, like Jake said, there's no inauthenticity to it. Like, I don't think anybody thinks he's fake. I think it's he came up in a time when the way that you get a TV show and the way you get attention is to be accessible to the most number of people possible. And now it's like saying SNL versus sketch shows on Funny or Die. Right.
I don't know why I'm arguing with a sociologist.
and it's not a bad thing. Nothing. Yeah. I feel like I haven't said anything bad about Will Smith. Mm-hmm. I think that he has a certain
lowest common denominator. Doesn't strike you as bad?
No,
I'd
I
be
mean,
so upset.
That's what popular
that's what
art
pop,
is.
Yeah, it's what pop music is.
Pop music is fun to listen to. It is also for everyone, and therefore a lowest common denominator. I don't think that you know that's necessarily an insult. It's just like calling
would you
it
like
what it
to
is.
Be called that?
Well, no, because I'm not that.
All right.
Like if
threatening the government is
now.
Not the lowest common denominator thing to do. It's a weird thing to do.
Yeah. Well, Jake has a point. The day of the simple blockbusters is over. And now a list of Marvel's next 22 movies in the next 6 months.
I didn't say they don't exist. I said they're not cool.
Number four in theaters, Abominable, a cartoon. And then number five, Downton Abbey, where you can see them polishing the silverware. And like I said, there's a plot point where the butler is folding sheets, but he has a weak chin.
It is a fitted sheet or regular sheet?
Fitted.
Oh, those are hard.
But the queen's coming. She needs it.
Wood wash.
Luisa, follow online. Like I said, Luisa Diaz Nuts. D-I-E-Z nuts. Why is that so funny?
Isn't
like,
it?
It's like Joe Who, Joe Mama. Like, how does that make any sense?
It's so funny.
But it's classic.
Also, you'll find me at her show every Thursday. It's called Too Many Cooks, and it has a bunch of your favorites that you heard on this show. And also, she introduces me to a bunch of new comics. It's really cool.
It's really fun.
And Shtick or Treat is coming.
Yeah, that's on the 28th, October 28th at Knitting Factory at 8 p.m. That's our 12th annual this year.
Crazy.
Comedians dress and act like popular comedians that everybody knows on stage. It's always a blast.
It's amazing. It's one of the greatest shows in New York, and it always sells out. So get it or don't, fuck faces. How's that for edgy and non-low comedy?
Love it.
And this vocabulary.
This is why you can't have children.
I can. I just kill them before they come out.
You're not allowed because you curse too much.
Jake Flores, follow online at Feral Jokes. That's for Twitter and Instagram also. And the podcast they do together is Why You Mad?
Which stirs up a little shit, doesn't it?
I think so.
Look at me. I'm like, what?
They're like, we don't want to say the names of the clubs that we are talking about. So we'll just call it the basement and the store.
No, the shop.
Oh, the shop. Sorry.
It's impossible to decode. Keith's dad would not understand what we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
And Jake's other podcast, Pod Damn America. So check them both out. Thank you very much. Spread the word. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com.